talk about heaven, everybody. Heaven, everybody. That ought to make you smile. Either you should be glad you're going there, or how many know you get an opportunity to make a decision to go there today? Amen? We want to talk this morning about the Christmas hope, and that is the hope of heaven. Let's pray. Father God, I pray, Lord, for the next few moments, God, that we would not be in a hurry, Lord God, just to get through, but Lord God, that you would, Lord, open our hearts and help us to open our hearts, rather, Father God, to receive what you would have for us today. Father God, that we would turn our focus, Lord, to what really matters. Lord, again, God, it is so easy, Lord God, to get distracted with all of the things of the world, and that's particularly in this season, Lord, and what we're going to get, and Lord God, and what we have to buy, and all of the expense, and all the stuff, and all the parties, and all the get-togethers, and all the pressure and the stress. And so, God, I pray today, Father God, that we'd be at rest, and God, that you would remind us, Lord, of one of the greatest hopes that we have as Christians, God, and that is the hope of heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. So I want to start this morning with a question, and that is this. In this season, and I really want you to answer this question seriously. In this season that you're in right now, Christmas season, season of life, all that's going on right now, do you feel more hopeful or do you feel hopeless? Do you feel more hopeful, like things are gonna, like it's going okay, like I feel hopeful because I got Christmas shopping done, right? Or maybe you say, I feel hopeful because my relationships right now are going okay, or I feel hopeful because I got the bonus at work that I needed to be able to get finished through all the stuff that I've got going on for Christmas. Like, do you feel hopeful that things are gonna, or do you feel like it's never gonna get any better? Do you feel like my relationships are always gonna be broken? My kids are always gonna be a mess. My finances are always going to be terrible. My spiritual life is always going to be flatline. Like, do you feel hopeful or do you feel hopeless? Because here's what I know so many people, particularly over the last 2 years, this is what's happened. A lot of people have put their hope in situations and circumstances. And can I just tell you this morning, the problem with that is that when you put your hope in the situation or the circumstances, how many know they're going to change? Right? Like, how many of you ever had this? You had one good situation come along, right? You got the raise, right? And you're like, dude, raise, this is awesome. Then comes January and it's tax time and now you got to pay taxes on that raise. Come on, somebody. Right? Like you, man, I got the girl. And then the girl breaks up with you. That never happened to y'all. Okay, that's good. It's happened to me, guys. Okay, I'm still wounded. Right? Like, where are you on this spectrum? Because I see so many people, like, I will be happy when this happens. The only thing is, then that happens and we're still empty because we're putting our hope in a bunch of things that's a moving target. Right? And I know that's easier said than done, but can I just tell you, it's the truth nonetheless. We've got to put our hope in a God of the Bible that never changes. Amen. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the hope of eternity. I want to talk about heaven today. And I don't know why, but I just don't think we talk about heaven nearly enough today, right? We just kind of skip over it, I think. And here's the deal. We have hope today. And that, again, is not a wish. A wish is a unlikely probability. Hope is a confident expectation that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. Right? And what I know in my own life is when I keep my eyes on heaven, it changes my vision here on earth. Come on, right? When I keep my eyes on heaven, I've told you before, like I remember growing up and we used to be in the garden a lot and we would work in the garden a lot and I just read and some of the people who used to sing lots of hymns, like they would always sing about not, oh, it's so hot and it's terrible and it's miserable here. They wouldn't talk about what was happening in reality, in their life at the moment. You know how they stayed out in 100 degrees weather and some of them lived in the middle, right, of the garden or whatever and picking cotton and picking peas and all this kind of stuff? How did they take care of all the misery in the present? They kept their focus on the future. And not on, it's going to be good when I get raises, it's going to be good when I get the house, but listen, future, like my eternal home, that is heaven, everybody. Amen? So here's the deal, the more I focus on the then, the more it changes my now. Some of you need to put that in your pocket and take it home. I said, the more I focus on the then, it changes my now. So I want to give you some thoughts on heaven this morning. First of all, I want to give you five things that are not going to be in heaven. All right, and the first one is this, and you were like, man, this is obvious, but how many know that sin is not going to be in heaven? Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 27 says, nothing impure will ever enter it, meaning heaven. Right? That means, church, that no, listen, heaven is not going to have any pride, and heaven is not going to have any laziness. I just can't wait to get home and just be able to chill out, like, for a week. Like, heaven's... Come on, somebody, right? Like, we're going to be productive in heaven, right? We'll get to that in a minute. But there's not going to be any heaven. There's not going to be any greed in heaven. There's not going to be any anger in heaven. There's not going to be any envy in heaven. And we know there's not going to be any gluttony in heaven. There's not going to be any lust in heaven. There's not going to be any temptation in heaven. There's not going to be hangovers in heaven. Like, sin will not be present in heaven. And here's what I need you to think about this morning. I just want you to think about heaven today, right? Think about your worst sin. The worst sin that you ever committed. Guess what? It's not going to be there. And because sin is not going to be in heaven, it leads us to the second thing that's not going to be in heaven, and that's regret. Can somebody say regret? Because there is no sin, there's not going to be any regret. Imagine for with me just a moment, a life of no regret. Anybody ever have any regrets? Right? How many times have you thought about regrets in your life that you wish you shouldn't have, or you could have, or, man, I should have, right? We all have them, right? You may not raise your hand today because you don't want anybody to ask you what they are, but here's what I know. All of us have regrets. Right? Something that we've done in our past that we're not proud of, right? That we're not going to put on social media. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 42 says, they will be thrown into them like a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth is just talking about like mashing your teeth together really, really tight. You ever do that? Out of frustration or regret, right? You like pull out in front of somebody, you're like, ugh, I shouldn't have done that. Or if you're in Gina, like, my truck's bigger than yours. Come on, somebody, right? Ever done that? You just, like, grit your teeth, like, eh. I heard somebody say that hell is a constant state of regret. Hell is a constant state of regret. The good news is there's no sin in heaven, and because there's no sin in heaven, I mean, there's no regret in heaven. I don't know about you, but that sounds like freedom. Amen? Freedom, like, right? Because I'm just telling you, in the world that I live in right now, like, I've got a lot of regrets, right? But when I get to heaven, there will be no regret. Amen. Let me know, you done, Pastor, you done two, and you're moving on good. Come on, somebody, right? Right? Don't worry, I'm going to slow down shortly, right? Here's another thing that's not going to be in heaven. Let me know, pain is not going to be in heaven. All right. Some of y'all old people, y'all need to say amen. Some of y'all young people need to say amen, right? Right? Like, when I get up in the morning, when I get to heaven, there will be no more snap, crackle, and pop. And I'm not talking about Rice Krispies. I mean, you're like me. Like, I get up in the morning. If I get up in the morning and something didn't hurt, I think I died. Right? I get up in the morning. I'm like, God, help me, right? But here's what Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 4 says. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. In heaven, everything is new, right? Like right now, we're living in the old order, right? And the old order is full of a lot of pain, right? But in heaven, the Bible says there's no more pain. There's no more physical pain. I don't know about you, but like I know people who like physically, it's excruciating pain and they live with pain every single day. We have whole clinics who just, they're called pain management clinic. Let me know they're going out of business in heaven. Amen. Right? There's no pain physically. There's no emotional pain in heaven. Isn't that right? There's no anxiety in heaven. There's no worry in heaven. There's no mental pain in heaven. There is no depression in heaven. How many ready to go to heaven right now? Come on, somebody. Right? I mean, if you were saved right now, you'd be a little bit pumped up. Like, no more pain. Come on. Like, right? Like, there's no relational pain. Anybody got family members coming up and you're just like, oh, God, help me? Right? Now, we won't say that because we're Christian. We want to save face. Listen, you can save your face, but your heart's still rotten. Oh, come on, somebody. Right? I don't care what this looks like, if this in the heart, if your heart's not changed, all the production doesn't matter. That wasn't in my notes. That was just out from the Holy Spirit for free. Right? Because we got a whole lot of people pretending like, oh, my family's great. I just don't talk to them. We appear righteous, but something on the inside, right? But when we get to heaven, there will be no relational pain. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had a day with no physical, emotional, or relational pain? Hey, Pastor, I don't know. That's never happened. I just remind you this morning that in heaven there will be no more pain. And usually when we have pain, what do? Like, right, if you have incredible pain, like, what do you usually do? Like, we usually, one of the ways we express our pain is through tears, right? We cry. Guess what else is not going to be in heaven? Tears, right? Revelation chapter number 7, verse number 17. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, I don't know how this is going to play out. I know a whole lot of people right now are hurting in a whole lot of different ways. There's a whole lot of hurt. And there's a whole lot of heaviness. But I just have this vision of heaven. I wish somebody would at least help me preach this morning. Because listen, I just see God when we get to heaven and we're like, if there's and he's just going to wipe. He's like, that's the last one. Some of you have been hurting for so long and you're like, it's never going. I'm just telling you, it will pass. And in heaven, there will be no more tears. And he will just take you and he will lovingly say, hey, you know what? I know you've been hurting for a long time. I know you've been struggling for a long time. I know you thought it was never, but that's the last one you'll ever pray. It's the last one you'll ever cry. Because in heaven, there's no tears because there's no more pain. Just think this morning, I may be hurting now, but I'm not going to hurt forever. Right? My little knee that's giving me issues and my body that gives me issues and all the snap, crackle, and pops, right? I may be hurting now, but I'm not going to hurt forever. You may be walking through depression right now, but you're not going to walk through depression forever. Am I preaching to anybody today? Like, you may be going through some anxiety now and worry now and stress now and regrets now. But listen, we won't have it forever because heaven's coming, everybody. We have a confident expectation at Christmas time. Not the present. Listen, your presents are going to be burned. You won't even know what you got last year. Like, it doesn't even matter. But listen, I'm talking about a Christmas hope that God says, listen, heaven and eternity are coming. Amen? Here's one more thing that's not going to be there in heaven, and that's death. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Think about that. You know, I hate funerals. I don't like doing funerals. It's not my thing. I'm not very good at doing funerals. And I'm not even going to practice. Because you know what? When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no funeral homes. Come on, somebody. Like, there's not going to be any caskets. Right? Like, nothing in heaven is dead. Can you think about that for a minute? No dead trees? Hey, Michelle, no dead plants? Come on, somebody. Right? Don't buy her a plant for Christmas. Even if it's artificial, she's going to water it and kill it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not good. Like, nothing is dead in heaven. Everything is alive. Relationships are alive in heaven. Everywhere we look, everything is alive. There is no dead landscape, right? We're driving over to Alexandria Friday night to have a family time, and Lauren's like, I didn't even know there was a house there. Right? Because, you know, like, it looks like, you're just like, dude, like, I didn't even know there was a house over there. Because in the summertime, all the foliage and everything, all the green, like, it hides. But let me know the winter life, the winter landscape, it makes it look bigger. It's not any bigger, but like, everything's dead. And when, like, you can see. But when you get to heaven, ain't nothing dead. Right? There's no death. That's what's not going to be in heaven. Let's talk for a few minutes about what's going to be in heaven. I mean, look, I just need a good amen. Pastor, you're going fast. Come on, somebody. It's good, too. Fast and good. Come on, somebody. How many know God's alive and well? Amen? I ain't done yet. Here's here's the first thing, and it may surprise you of the first thing that's in heaven, but can I just remind you today that serving is going to be in heaven. Serving is going to be in heaven. You're like, Pastor, right? Like, I was going to retire on the plumpy angel floating on a cloud plan. No. No. You're going to serve in heaven. Right? So might as well practice here on earth, shouldn't we? Right? You're like, oh, I just can't wait till I retire. There will be no retirement in heaven. Come on. So if you're going to retire for a short time now. Come on, somebody. I can't wait to retire. It'll only be short. Right? Listen, serving should not be and we try to tell you this, like it should not be a duty. It should be a delight, right? It should be our pleasure to serve. Why? Because, and that's why I make it our goal here to make it. Because here's the deal. Listen, we don't want you to dread serving. It should be a delight. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 3 says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will what? What are we going to do in heaven? I'm going to sit on the pew and see if I can criticize the pastor and see what I don't like today. I'm going to sit on the pew. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sit and I'm going to tell God how hot it is or how cold it is or how I don't like this person that comes to church. No. You're going to serve. Amen? God is presence. And how many know, when you're in the presence of greatness, it is a natural response to want to serve. How many know, we don't serve a king, we serve the king. We don't serve a Lord, right? We serve the Lord. Right? Like, listen, like heaven's going to be times of service, right? Revelation chapter number 7, verse number 15 says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Right? So this vision some people have of, we're just going to get to heaven. We're going to just float around. I don't have to do anything. It's just wrong. But here's what I know. When you get in the presence of greatness, your natural response is to serve. Right? And so I want to say something here. I want you to hold on to this. I want you to think about this. So here's the deal. When we don't have a desire to serve in the church or in the community or your job or whatever, you don't have a serving problem. You have a relationship problem. Let me say that again. If you don't ever, you just want to do the minimum to get by, and you're just like, I don't really care, and they don't pay me enough for this, and you're like, I don't care. Like, my family's going to heaven, and I don't really care about anybody else, and I don't really care about, like, I'm just doing my time, and I'm just serving here because one day I'm not going to have to serve. You're wrong. But here's the deal. The reason we don't like to serve is because we don't have the right relationship with Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Right? Because when you get close to the King of Kings, your natural response is, how can I serve you? What do you need? King Jesus, what do you need me to do? Right? That was worth the price of admission today. Right? People are like, well, I can't get people to serve because they're not in love with the King. We're trying to hire coaching teams and like, come on, everybody. You've forgotten your why. You've forgotten that, listen, every class you teach is teaching people how to get to heaven. And so that's why I pour my life into this class. That's why I pour my, if there's one person, I'm going to give it all. Because, listen, I understand my why. And I have a relationship with the King. And the King says, I've called you to this. And so if he called me to that, it's my pleasure. It's not a chore. It's not a thing that I hate. It is my great delight to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter where he puts me. So many people are trying to figure out why I can't serve or why I have no desire to serve. Because you have a relationship problem. Right? Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll want to serve him. Let me say it this way. The more you serve, the closer you are to the King. Isn't that right? Right? If I'm serving him, then I'm going to be close to him. Right? Right? If I'm serving you a plate of food, I don't just put it on the end of a stick and put it in there and say, take it. No. When I'm serving you, I get close to you. Because that's the only way I can serve. Is this helping anybody but me? Like, I'm more excited about heaven than some of you. I can just tell you, I can tell everybody, if you're happy, tell your face. Right? Like, I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about, listen, I want to serve him because when I'm serving him, I'm closer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right? So sit on the bench right now if you want to, but you won't when you get to heaven. Right? We find joy in serving, don't we? Again, one of my favorite songs is, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And I can tell by so many, like, but you know, one of the reasons it is for people who want it to be is because people are serving. You know what makes this time of the year so great? Is we're getting our eyes off of ourselves and we're saying, listen, let's find a way to help people at Good Pine Middle School. Hey, let's give away this Tuesday. We will give away bags of clothes and toys and stuff to people and to the children in our community. Like, because it gets our eyes off of what I don't have and what I don't like about my life and how miserable my life, and we actually start serving other people. Matter of fact, can I give you a life hack that I've learned a long, long time ago? When I start getting depressed and tired and irritable and all that kind of stuff, you know what I start to do? First of all, I pray. Number two, I get out of myself and I start serving somebody else. Can I just tell you, some of you, like, I just want to be happy. Stop wallowing in where you're at right now and start serving somebody else, because here's what I've discovered, that every time I start going through stuff and I just get stuck, listen, I'm going to stay stuck as long as I want to stay stuck, but if I'll say, you know what, I'm going to find somebody else, I'll see what their story, and because God wired us to serve, right? And right now it's just practice. Amen. Here's the second thing that's going to be in heaven, and that is home. 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 I'm going to record this and I'm going to listen to it myself. I'm going to preach. Come on, somebody. When somebody passes away, what do we say? They went home to be with the Lord. Right? Hebrews 13:14 says this, "For the world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come." Isn't that right? A few years ago, I went to Kenya, Africa for a couple of weeks, and I learned a lot of things on that trip. I told you before, the missionary there said, sometimes you're here for Africa, and sometimes Africa's here for you. I learned a lot on that trip to Africa. Some of the things I learned in Africa, one of the biggest things I learned about being in Africa for that long a period of time is I didn't fit. I didn't fit, right? Like, the culture was different. The way people dressed was different. The food was different. They had this stuff, I can't even remember what it's called. It looked like pasty grits. They called it American cornbread. I'm like, you have never had God's gift of cornbread from the South in Africa then. If this is what you think is cornbread, like, right? But it was, right. Was it bad? No, it was just different, right? The food was different. The way they viewed time, right? Like, hey, pastor, we're going to start church at 10:30. Right? Meanwhile, at 1:30, they start church. Right? Their view of time is totally different, right? Their currency was different. Right? I didn't know what this was worth and what this translation was. Their language was different. I didn't fit. And the reason I didn't fit, right? I was living in a tent, taking a shower outside, going potty in a hole. Right? I didn't fit. It wasn't home. Right? You ever feel like that in this world? On earth? Right? Like, I understand we're Christian and our views are different, but and our lifestyle may be different and our language is different, but man, I just don't fit here. Why? Because we're not made for this, right? We were made for the garden. Did you know that? Like, God created us and he put Adam and Eve in the garden and it was perfect, and that's what we were made for until sin entered the world and it broke the world. And listen, we were not made. This is not our home. We were not made for this. And here's what I know. The closer we get to Jesus, the more homesick you're going to be. Right? The closer we get to Jesus, the more homesick we'll be. The closer you get to Jesus, the less you feel like you fit in here. Sometimes people are like, man, I just don't, I think I'm going to buy a new car so I'll fit in. Or I'm going to buy these clothes so I'll fit in. Or I'm going to get this relationship so I'll fit in. Or I'm just going to get this new thing so I'll fit in. And we do it all. And we're going to go to the vacation. And there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. But listen, we're doing all this stuff to try to fit into a world that we were never created to fit into. Because this isn't our home. Heaven is our home, everybody. Right? So we get on this constant quest to make every place like we set up home here. Like, we get it. We're just like, right? We get it. We're like, dude, I still don't feel like it's home. And it never will. It never will. But because as a Christian, this isn't. Right? So create the perfect everything here, and you're still going to get at the end of the day, and you're going to go home, and you're going to think, like, this ain't home. Because heaven is our home, right? We aren't fulfilled here because we're not home yet, everybody. You don't feel like home because it's not home. You can't get satisfied because you're not supposed to be satisfied because this ain't home. Here's a third one, and that is this, that worship will be in heaven. Revelation chapter number 4, verses 8 through 11, it says this, each of the four creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings, and day and night they never stopped saying, worshiping, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I get so tired of the repeats. We see their songs like, oh, come let us adore him like 100 times. If you're tired of it here, you ain't gonna like heaven. Come on, somebody. All they, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God, God Almighty, who is, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and give thanks to him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever. And then the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and by your will they were created and have their being. Can I just tell you today, like, heaven's got, like, if you don't like worship here on earth, you're going to hate heaven. If you think it's too loud or too, you're going to hate heaven. We get to heaven, we're going to worship with everybody. Right? Like, when I went to Africa, dude, now listen, I've dropped some weight since Africa, so it's not such a big deal, but man, those people jump up and down when they worship. Right? It's not like, I just have a private moment with Jesus. Ain't no private moment. They're worshiping out loud and on purpose. How many know we could learn something from the Africans? Come on, somebody. They worship all out loud and on purpose. Right? The Bible says every tribe and every nation and every language is going to worship him forever and ever. Have you ever thought about this, that worship? Think about this. The next time tonight when you come back, and we're going to have some time of worship. Worship is the only thing we're doing, or one of the only things that we do now that we're also going to do in heaven. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good this morning. Amen. Some of you. Here's number 4. You know what else is going to be in heaven? Family and friends. Amen. David is talking about his son who had just died. He prayed his son wouldn't die. His son died. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, verse number 23, it says, but now that he is dead, why should we go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? And then here's what it says. It says, I will go to him, but he will not return to me. I will go to him, but he will not return to me. So David says, listen, one day, like, he's not going to come back to earth, but one day I will see him again. So we recognize from scripture, and this is just one place, but we recognize that, listen, when we get to heaven, we're going to recognize friends and family in heaven. Isn't that right? Right? How many of you are looking forward to seeing somebody in heaven one day who died in the faith? Right? There's going to be a great reunion in heaven with family and friends. Right? And worship team, you guys can come. And I just think about my grandma. She used to sit on the back row. And she was not a typical back row person. She was a back row, like, I don't know if the pastor planted her there. Because my grandma, like, she didn't know about silent stuff. Now, she was a quiet lady all the other times. She come to church, she's going to sit on the back row. And everybody in the church, we're going to be worshiping and whatever. And then all of a sudden, my grandma like, "Woo!" I know, we don't do that in church anymore. I mean, we do that at worshiping at a football game, but we don't do that in the worshiping God. Come on. I didn't think I was going to get no amen right there, but that's truth anyway. Right? We don't get it in the church house, but we get it when we win the lottery. But my grandma, she'd sit on the back row, and every once in a while, she'd go, "Woo!" Because I think the glory of the Lord touched her, because she didn't watch worship, she worshiped. And then the preacher would get up and he would be preaching. And again, we didn't have a quiet church. Right? You could say, "And God said," and they're like, "Amen." I love going back. Right? That's a little freaky. Then you better get practice. Find a church. Because it's going to be that way in heaven. Amen. Right? My grandma, She would sit, and the preacher would be, I remember one time, this will get your life right. I'm like 12 years old. At this point, I was a creaster. I went to church on Christmas and Easter only. And she was on the back row, and I was a couple of rows up, scouting out the girl situation. I know y'all never done that, but I wanted a good Christian girl, even though I wasn't a Christian. She would sit on the back row. And the preacher would be preaching, and she'd let out a, "Amen!" Dude, when she let out a shout, I got right with God. Come on, somebody. Right? Because here's the deal, because I thought the rapture was happening right then. Matter of fact, can I just be honest with you? Like, I'm strategically, I think I'm going to do this before too long. I got an air horn in my office. I think it'd be really, really cool. Now, somebody talked about putting one in the bathroom. That's a whole other thing. But here's what I think would be cool. We just had somebody maybe in the sound booth one Sunday morning on some random whenever time, and we just like, beep! Wonder if we'd have a prayer time then. Because can I just tell you, Jesus is coming back just that quick. Heaven's going to be your home just that quick. I love my grandmother. She prayed for people for years. I never went to church and saw almost all of her children come to know Jesus. Years, she saw nothing. One day, we all come to know Jesus. So there's going to be a great family reunion. But here's what I think in the South, and I'm going to close. It's going to be a great reunion. But sometimes I think in the South, we're just like, "I can't wait to see grandma." And that's going to be awesome. I think I'm going to be able to hug my grandma, tell her how much I love her and I miss her. And that's going to be awesome. You know what? The fifth thing is going to be in heaven. It's going to be even more awesome than meeting our loved ones. Jesus. Can I just tell you, your loved ones and being reunited with your loved ones is not the main event. It's not the biggest joy of heaven. Jesus is going to be their church. Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 through 4 says, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in that city." There's coming a day. And I feel like sometimes I'm just doing a TED talk to people. Like, we've forgotten that, like, heaven, like, Jesus is going to be in heaven. Like, we're doing all of this stuff. Like, why are we giving all the church money away? Because we're trying to make heaven more crowded. That's why. Because one day, there's going to come a day where I'm going to see grandma. And I'm going to see some of my friends that went ahead of me. But the greatest thing that I'm going to be able to experience is seeing Jesus face to face. It's the greatest thing. I can't even get my head around it. One, while I was still, the Bible says I was still a sinner. I was still messed up in my sin. And he still paid the price for my salvation. I wonder if I'll actually be able to see his hands and his feet, the holes. The crown of thorns on his head. As they pressed down the I just wonder what it's going to be like just to see him face to face. Been so incredibly guilty, getting so concerned about getting all my stuff here in order. Sometimes I forget, man, you know what? This is not even my home. No wonder I'm never satisfied. Because I've not seen him yet. When I see him face to face, I just wonder. This thought this week, I'm like, what am I even going to say? Here's the brilliant thing I come up with. Probably not a thing. What I'm probably going to do is take my crown and put it at his feet. And I don't care who's worshiping with me or what's going on around me. I will probably just say, holy, holy, holy is the God Almighty. Probably just worship. I won't ask how come I went through anything in this world, because it won't matter. Because I'm going to see him face to face. That's heaven, everybody. That's why you came to church this morning, right? Times we're like, just again, I've been so guilty, and I'm like, I just want to get everything set up. God just reminded me, man, listen, this isn't home. It's never going to feel home. It's never going to feel right. You're never going to be, because you weren't made for this. You were made for heaven. So here's my question this morning. If you guys get the lights, here's my question this morning, and that is this. Will you be in heaven? Because contrary to popular opinion, I know in the South we don't like to, and it's above our pay grade. We don't put people in heaven or hell, but can I just tell you, not everybody goes to heaven. We like to do whatever we want to do and live like we want and think, oh, well, we're all going to heaven because God loves me. He loves you, and he wants you in heaven. Well, I believed in God. Well, even the demons believe in God. Just because they believed in God, just because you believe in God, doesn't mean they're going to heaven. We got to ask him. We got to ask him to forgive us of our sins. And then, not just, okay, I'm forgiven, but we got to be a follower of Jesus, church. We got to be a follower. And I'm not trying to be legalistic, but listen, we got to be a follower. If Jesus tells us to forgive, we got to quit making excuses of why we can't, why they did this, blah, and we got to forgive. Come on, somebody, that was a good place for an amen. Like, if he calls us to be generous, then we got to quit making excuses. Well, I got to save because I don't know what's going to happen. Here, the rapture's going to happen. Like, listen, when God lays it on your heart to do something, do it. Right? Like, we can't just believe. We got so many people in the South, and we're like, man, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, but are you following him? Because not everybody goes to heaven. Here's what Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 27 says. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's it. Doesn't matter if you come to every message that Pastor Jeff ever preached. If you haven't had your name written in the Lamb's book of life, it's not going to matter. So, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.